كل الأخبار المتعلقة بالتكنولوجيا والشركات الناشئة يوم بيوم في برنامج تك بالعربي على سماشي تي في. عناوين اليوم: انخفاض أرباح فوري، ومنصة الواقع المعزز للأثاث بيوت تطلق خدماتها في مصر، ومنصة بيت أويسس تسرح موظفيها. يا أهلا وسهلا فيكم ببرنامجكم تك بالعربي، معكم أنا هالة بسام، ومعنا بخلف الكواليس اليوم علي وشهير. خلونا نبدأ أخبارنا لليوم ونحكي عن منصة فوري في مصر تحديدا. تراجع صافي أرباح شركة فوري المصرية لتكنولوجيا البنوك والمدفوعات الإلكترونية بنسبة كبيرة جدا تصل إلى 63% بعد خصم حقوق الأقلية خلال الربع الأول من العام 2022، وكل هذا حسب طبعا ما أظهرت النتائج المالية للشركة هذا العام. وبلغ صافي أرباح الشركة 28.15 مليون جنيه في الربع الأول من العام 2022 مقابل 76.146 مليون جنيه لنفس الفترة من العام الماضي. وسجل صافي الربح قبل خصم حقوق الأقلية انخفاضا بنسبة 44.2% ليصل إلى 47.8 مليون جنيه في أول ثلاثة أشهر من عام 2022 مقابل 85.7 مليون جنيه لنفس الفترة في عام 2021. وارتفعت أيضا إيرادات شركة فوري لتكنولوجيا البنوك والمدفوعات الإلكترونية بنسبة 38.4% لتسجل 482.9 مليون جنيه مقابل 348.9 مليون جنيه للفترة مقارنة من العام السابق. وأظهرت أيضا النتائج المالية لفوري نمو المدفوعات المنفذة بنسبة 66.4% لتسجل 41.3 مليار جنيه مقابل 24.8 مليار جنيه لنفس الفترة من العام الماضي. ولكن اللي عم نشهده بالفترة الأخيرة إنه معظم شركات التكنولوجيا حول العالم عم تنخفض أرباحها، وحتى سوق الأسهم تبعها عم نشوفه متجه إلى اللون الأحمر. أما إذا بننتقل ونحكي أيضا عن الشركات الناشئة وأيضا في مصر، أعلنت الآن شركة بيوت، شركة التجارة الإلكترونية المصرية الناشئة والمختصة تحديدا في الأثاث المنزلي والمكتبي ولكن بالاعتماد على الواقع المعزز، أعلنت الآن عن إطلاق خدماتها رسميا في مصر بغرض إتاحة عرض ومنتجات الأثاث عبر المنصة وتصديرها للأسواق الخارجية برأس مال يصل إلى 270 ألف دولار أمريكي. وعم بتقول بيوت إنه جميع المنتجات اللي عم بتقدمها مصنوعة في مصر بجودة عالية جدا، وعم تسعى من ذلك إلى تمكين مصنعي الأثاث المصريين من حيث تصدير منتجاتهم للخارج، وأيضا عم تستهدف المنصة في البداية السوق السعودي والسوق الإماراتي أيضا، بعدها رح تتوسع بباقي أسواق الخليج العربي من نهاية عام 2022. وأشارت بيوت أيضا إلى التعاقد مع 30 مصنع وورشة لتصنيع الأثاث حتى الآن، وعم تتوقع الوصول إلى 100 مصنع خلال شهر واحد من الإطلاق وإلى 1000 مصنع بنهاية 2022. وأكدت أيضا على توفيرها خدمات دفع مختلفة بتساعد العملاء في الدول الأخرى للدفع بعملاتهم المحلية أيضا. الجميل بهيك نوع من المشاريع أنه عم تدعم الموارد البشرية المحلية في مصر مثلا، وتحديدا الأشخاص اللي بيشتغلوا بالأثاث وغيرهم. أما إذا بننتقل إلى آخر خبر معنا لليوم ونحكي عن الشركات الناشئة، ولكن الشركات الناشئة المختصة بسوق العملات الرقمية، خفضت الآن بيت أويسس واللي هي أكبر منصة تشفير محلية في الشرق الأوسط عدد موظفيها بنحو 7% خلال الأسبوع الماضي، وهي أحدث علامة على التوتر اللي عم بتعاني منه بعض أكبر بورصات الأصول الرقمية والمشفرة في المنطقة. وتم تسريح 9 موظفين من الشركة عبر مكاتب في دبي، أبوظبي، عمان، وأيضا في وقت سابق من هذا الأسبوع. والشركة الآن بتسعى لضمان استمرارها عبر تركيزها على التنفيذ وزيادة بصمتها في جميع أنحاء المنطقة في ظل تباطؤ السوق الراهنة. وبالأيام الأخيرة فعلا شهدنا انهيار لسوق العملات الرقمية، وانخفضت تحديدا عملة البيتكوين لتصل إلى أقل من 18 ألف دولار. وهذا الانخفاض القوي جدا والكبير أثر على العديد من الشركات اللي عم بتركز على العملات المشفرة. هذه كانت كل أخبارنا الصباحية لليوم، ولكن خليكم معنا بعد الفاصل. مقابلتنا مع خليل قسام الشركة شريك المؤسس لشركة فومولاب. خليكم معنا ولا تروحوا لبعيد. And we're back with our guest Khalil, co-founder of Fomulab. Thank you so much for being with us and welcome to the show, Khalil.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, we would like to know more about Fomulab. So can you tell us when did you start it and what kind of services do you provide?
Sure. So we started last year in April. We were approached by Tyson Fury's team. So Tyson Fury is the heavyweight champion of the world for boxing, and he wanted to release his own NFT. So we said, sure, let's do that for you. We ended up selling it for $987,000. It's still one of the most expensive sporting NFTs. I think it's tied with Lionel Messi. And that was where we sort of kickstarted the business. So we ended up making our own marketplace. We worked with, we sold a Porsche on the blockchain, which was signed by Rick Ross. We've worked with ex Warner Music record producers. We built sort of, I think, nearly 9 successful projects now. But our latest one is Mr. Bean. So yes, we have the rights to Mr. Bean. I'm sure you're aware of who he is, but that's sort of where, you know, we started looking at different aspects of the NFT market. So we teamed up with a company called Banerjee, and they work exclusively on intellectual property. So, you know, they have a catalog that kind of stems from 4,000 different products. So they work on Peaky Blinders, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Terminator, RoboCop, the Kardashians. I think they sold that show now, but they used to work on the Kardashians. And so, you know, where our business is at the moment, we're starting to look at more utility-based sort of products or IP-related products. So one of the products you might know is Middle East Comic Con. Mm-hmm. So we're now the official partner for them for NFTs. So we just signed the contract as of last week, but what will let us do is do NFT ticketing. We'll be able to sort of, you know, really push forward on the utility aspect for that. And so the next round of tickets will be actual NFTs. And then we're sort of looking at the music industry. We're looking at property, we're looking at gold, diamonds, traditional assets. We're working on sort of building out pieces of tech that allow people to trade equities, bonds, securities as NFTs. So, you know, there's whole sort of, you know, the business has grown from just doing design work to actually working on very sort of real and traditional products now.
That's very interesting because, as you said, like, you started as design, but then you're moving towards real estate, for instance, events which are happening in real life. Yeah. And things like that. But before all of that, I want to ask about the regulations part and getting the rights. For instance, you said Mr. Bean and very famous people as well.
Yeah.
So is there a challenge in that, or how does the process go?
So I guess with Mr. Bean, it was a 6-month process. So the company we worked with, they actually work with, I don't know, like I said, 4,000 different brands. So each brand has an owner of the product. So then you have to sort of go to that product, work on it for 6 months, look at the artwork, look at how you sort of project it into the market. And it was a really long process. So it was something that we didn't initially understand for this. So as we went on this journey, that's why it took 6 months. It wasn't just because of the artwork. It was literally making sure that we were saying the right thing. We couldn't sort of advertise that you should invest into this. We had to say, look, you know, this is going to be a part of history. It's a collectible, which it is. So, you know, we never wanted it to be sort of a money-making product. It was just sort of, we loved Mr. Bean and we wanted to put him out there into the world as an NFT. And sort of it was backed by Rowan Atkinson as well. We had to get his blessing for it. And he supported the project the whole way. But each product that you kind of go into, it's going to have its own set of requirements. So, you know, if we were to work on Terminator or RoboCop, we might not be able to use them in a game. So with Mr. Bean, we can't use them in a metaverse game, but you can walk around in the metaverse sort of as him, or the NFT that you bought. So there's a whole different sort of lot of aspects you have to look at now. And I think, you know, with the regulation coming up now in the UAE, obviously you look at VARA, they're sort of working on how to regulate it in the best way. so that scam projects don't come out. It's sort of like cryptocurrency, right? So, you know, here in Abu Dhabi Global Market, they've got the licenses so that, you know, you can sort of trade crypto. But you have to have a license, or you have to demonstrate to the regulator that you're sort of, you know, you've got the right people and sort of way to distribute the crypto or work on the exchange and all sorts of different sort of things in the background that you need to work on. I was working in ADGM for the last mm-hmm. sort of 3 years with different exchanges with Matrix and DEX. So I'm fully aware of how much it takes to sort of launch a project within the crypto space. But yeah, I mean, look, with every product that we bring out, we have to really, really look at it carefully, because a lot of them that we're going to be working on are attached to either, you know, intellectual property, or it's something like Middle East Comic Con, or if it's going to be property or diamonds or gold, whatever it may be, we have to make sure that we're sort of working in the right spaces for it.
That's very interesting. And also the part where you said that it took 6 months and you gave it to another company to handle all of that, which is very important, because a lot of people just think that it's trending. Everyone wants to open a business in the crypto industry and things like that, because it's the trend right now and it's a hot topic yeah. as well. But however, there's so much going on behind the scene, and being very specific or having a criteria of what to pick and have it as an NFT and sell it to people and to invest in it is very, very important. But can you tell us more about Comic-Con? Because that's very interesting. Will we have the tickets as yeah. NFTs, and how does it go?
So this is something that we're working on at the moment. So we only, you know, we've been speaking to their team again for the last 4 months or so. And they've really, you know, taking the approach that they want to get involved as much as possible, not just in the NFT market, but in the metaverse as well, because there'll come a point where, you know, they'll want to have Comic-Con within the metaverse so that other people can attend from different areas of the world. But back to the sort of the NFT utility, one part of it will be the ticketing side. The other part will be, you know, you might be able to get sort of merchandise with it. You'll be getting sort of the artwork with it. We're going to be start to, you know, within, I don't know if you've been to Comic-Con before in the Middle East, but they have this avenue full of artists, like really amazing artists. And so we want to start to sort of bring in those artists to help design some of the artwork for it as well. So, you know, we're working, I guess the next event is going to be in March or February next year. I think they're ironing out the dates sort of over the next few weeks, but you know, now is sort of where we work out the design and the artwork for it. And then we'll start kind of bringing in all of our sort of ecosystem to bolster the utility of the NFT. So, it's going to be a really cool project, because I think this is where NFTs sort of shine now. You know, you've had projects that don't really do anything. And then you have projects that are really working to sort of build the industry up. So you've got groups like ArtsDAO who are an amazing partner of ours. They you know, they built a community of sort of NFT specialists and experts and traders, investors, and everything in between. But you know, I think now you're looking at sort of projects like ours, theirs, where they build up the utility of all the different NFTs. So yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a great project. We'll involve as many people as possible in it. So yeah, over the next few months, we'll have more information on sort of how it's going to be rolled out, and yeah.
Exciting. And I love the mix between the NFT world, the metaverse, and now the real world events and everything happening. And that takes me to another question, which is, why is it very important for your company to also be involved in the traditional way of investing as well? So you're mixing NFTs and the blockchain with, for instance, real estate in your future plans. So tell us more about that, please.
I think because we've all been involved with traditional businesses anyway, we always had this idea of how can you mix the two worlds together. You know, it was much like the internet when it first came out. People were like, well, how can I utilize this in the best way possible? And then this whole e-commerce sort of, I'm just taking one example, but the e-commerce section of it, you know, you look at Amazon, you look at all these different products which are sold online. You can bring those into the metaverse as well. It's just a different way of sort of purchasing items, but now you're introducing crypto, and now you're introducing all these different aspects of it. So with us, we, you know, we started out with just designing NFTs, and then when we understood how much you could do, you know, with this technology, it, we're really at the start of it. So even going back to selling a Porsche on the blockchain, you know, it wasn't something we planned to do. We just got pitched the project and we said, okay, let's do it. It was same with the Tyson Fury piece. It was a physical piece and it was actually, and it was a digital piece. So, you know, you're linking all these traditional ways, just bringing them up to speed into sort of the Web3 industry. So, you know, as our business grew, we learned that we could sort of, we could link up all these different businesses and say, well, you can do it like this. You can still keep your traditional business, but you can actually tap into sort of a new generation of investors and people who are coming into the space.
That's very interesting. And we're seeing a lot of businesses moving into the NFTs, as you said, like real estate, a lot of other things, events and things like that. But now, like, we cannot deny what's happening in the cryptocurrency market. Like, it's been crashing in the past couple of days.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin below 18K. So will that affect businesses? What's your take on it?
I think, so this is something we've been sort of discussing in the background. You know, you've seen sort of businesses lay off staff,
exactly,
which is unfortunate. Yeah. I think it happens in a lot of industries, not just, obviously there's an attention on crypto and the blockchain space because it's new and people are trying to find the faults in it. And that's okay. This is sort of where, you know, good businesses separate from the other businesses.
Yeah.
So during this time, you know, even today, the market's slightly back up, but this happened before in 2018, it happened in 2017. So, you know, it's a natural cycle. The market was up, down, up, down. But during this time, when you've got sort of this down bit, companies really need to take a step back and see, well, am I providing utility? What am I doing that's going to be helping this sort of ecosystem grow? So, you know, companies like ours, and you look at Binance, who are doing an incredible job of sort of hiring and taking a real strategic view on not just working on growing this ecosystem, but they're working with the regulators to sort of build it out and give the licenses and things like that. But, you know, companies like us, we're a little bit smaller, but because we're focusing on utility, all we're doing is building in the background. That's all we've been doing for the last sort of 6 months, because we always saw this crash coming.
Exactly.
So that's why we've been making all these different partnerships with traditional businesses,
yes,
because this time now, you know, I think you've seen like Gucci and Prada and all these different companies, they're very heavily focused on the metaverse. They're not necessarily putting all their products out there yet. They're building in the background. So that's sort of where the market is for at least for the next 2 to 3 months. You can just see people building, really focusing on great products and great projects and building sort of partnerships with maybe company like ours. You know, you've got ArtStyle, you've got Sneakerheads, which just launched, which is an amazing project if you get time to look at it. You've got Velas, who have got sort of a very friendly chain that let people sort of use an app to buy crypto, and they're based here in the Middle East. But, you know, you've got all these different companies that are sort of now, who have built up their network and sort of name within the industry, and they'll see them sort of launch different products within the next few months. But yeah, now is just the time to build through the bear market. That's all I can sort of say.
Which is very important, because as I said, it's a hot topic, it's trending. So a lot of entrepreneurs are changing their whole business model or starting,
yeah,
a new startup, just NFT, crypto and things like that. But then if the business model is so fragile that it gets affected with the market and the crashes that are happening, and they,
yeah,
are expected to happen, I don't think that's a very strong base. However, the mix between the traditional, as you said, businesses and the new world, the NFT, because it's happening, it's staying, it seems like it's staying, and it is the future. So that would be a great mix. Can you tell us about your future plans for FOMOLAB?
So I think obviously one of the projects that we're really excited to work on is the Middle East Comic Con. You know, we've got really strong partnerships, like I said, with not just people within the crypto space, but we're working on sort of projects that are outside of it now. So, you know, we get approached to do, because we built all of our own technology, you know, we built our own meta gallery, we're working on our own metaverse, we built our own marketplace for products. You know, people are now seeing that we can do all this stuff for them as well. So in the background, we're building products. So, you know, one of the ones I mentioned, you know, we're building out a platform that sort of looks at equities and bonds and securities. That's a big focus of ours for the next few months as well. So, you know, that's not just linking in sort of the NFT and crypto space, but it's really linking in the traditional markets as well. And that's a company within ADGM. So, you know, not just that, we're looking at, obviously, we may bring out some more IP-related products. Yeah. So, again, we have sort of 4,000 products that we can pick from. So whether we go with Peaky Blinders or Black Mirror or Archer, we're still looking at it now. But, you know, I think we're in a very fortunate position because, you know, we weren't sort of rushing ahead with all of our products. We were taking our time and seeing, okay, what can we do next? Will this fit with the market? So we're in a good position, I think. We're also doing sort of our fundraise for ourselves. So we've got all these traditional funds looking at us and saying, can we invest into you? Can we take a slice of your business and you know, kind of boost it up? So, you know, there's good things on the horizon for FOMO Lab. So I'm looking forward to the sort of the next 6 months to a year. It'll be busier.
That's so amazing and exciting time. Thank you so much, Khalil, and best of luck in FOMO Lab.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. شكرا لكل الناس اللي تابعتنا. أنا بشوفكم بكرة بنفس الموعد. نهاركم سعيد جميعا. مثل ما وعدناكم، أخبار جديدة ومقابلات مع رواد أعمال يومياً في برنامج تك بالعربي على سماشي تي في. حملوا التطبيق الآن.